So I was sold to the master of a livery stable, who kept a great many horses and carriages. I was to get my experience of all the different kinds of bad and ignorant driving to which we horses are subjected, for I was a job horse, and was led out to all sorts of people. There were the tight rein drivers, for instance.
You must always keep a horse well in hand.
They never relax the pull on the horse's mouth, and it is not only tormenting, but it is stupid. Then there are the loose rein drivers, who will attend to anything else more than their horses. I went out one day with one of them. He had a lady and two children behind, and as he did not bother to drive on the smoothest parts of the road, I got a stone in one of my feet. I began to go lame, but the man was so careless, he drove me for a good half mile before a farmer rode up.
I beg your pardon, sir, but your horse goes very much as if he had a stone in his shoe. If you will allow me, I will look at his feet. Here it is. It was so deep, it was a wonder the horse did not fall down.
Well, to be sure. That's a queer thing. I never knew that horses picked up stones before.
Then there are the drivers who seem to think a horse is something like a steam engine, only smaller.
Giddy up! Go along, you lazy beast!
When they turn a corner, they do it as sharply as if there were no right or wrong side of the road. I well remember one spring day, a horse named Rory and I were out, when we heard a horse and two wheels coming toward us from around a sharp corner. Happily for me, I was on the side next to the hedge. Rory was on the right side. The whole shock came upon Rory. The gig shaft ran right into his chest, making him stagger back with a cry that I shall never forget. Of course, we sometimes came in for good drivers. One gentleman took a great liking to me and prevailed upon my master to sell me to a friend of his, a Mr. Barry. I was taken to a stable near his lodgings.
I know very little about horses, but I want you to take good care of this one. I want you to give him the best hay, with plenty of oats and crushed beans and bran.
For a few days, all went well. But after a while, it seemed to me that my oats came very short. In 2 or 3 weeks, this began to tell upon my strength and spirits. One day, Mr. Barry rode into the country to see a friend of his. This gentleman had a very quick eye for horses.
Hello, Barry. Good to see you. You know, it seems to me your horse does not look so well as he did when you first had him.
He's not nearly so lively, but my groom, Filcher, tells me that horses are always dull in autumn.
Autumn? Fiddlesticks. Why, this is only August. If I am not mistaken, your horse is not getting any oats. I advise you to look into your stable a little more. There are mean scoundrels wicked enough to rob a dumb beast of his food.
5 or 6 mornings after this, the groom and his son came into the stable as usual, about 6 o'clock. And as usual, they filled a little bag with my oats. As the boy was leaving, 2 policemen walked in.
We know your father raises rabbits, boy. Now show me the place where he keeps the rabbits' food.
There, sir, in that bin.
They soon found Filcher, and though he blustered a great deal, they walked him off to the lockup. In a few days, a new groom came. He was a tall, good-looking fellow enough, but if ever there was a humbug in the shape of a groom, Alfred Smirk was the man. And I should say he was the laziest, most conceited fellow I ever came near. He left my bit rusty and my saddle damp, and never took the straw out of my box to clean it properly. One day, my master came in.
Alfred, the stable smells rather strong. Should you not give that stall a good scrub and throw down plenty of water?
If you wish, sir. But it's rather dangerous, sir, throwing down water in a horse's box. They're very apt to take cold, sir.
Well, I shouldn't like him to take cold.
Standing as I did on a quantity of moist straw, my feet grew unhealthy and tender, and the master used to say,
I don't know what's the matter with this horse. He goes very fumble-footed. Sometimes I'm afraid he will stumble.
One day, my feet were so tender that over some fresh stones with my master on my back, I made 2 such serious stumbles that as he came down Lansdowne into the city, he stopped at the farrier's. The man took up my feet one by one and examined them.
Your horse has got thrush, the sort of thing we find in foul stables. I will give you some liniment, and you must see that all the litter is taken out of his box.
This was done, and I soon regained my spirits. But Mr. Barry was so disgusted at being twice deceived by grooms that he determined to give up keeping a horse, and I was sent to a horse fair. I was put with 2 or 3 other strong, useful-looking horses, and a good many people came to look at us. One was a small man with gray eyes that had a kindly, cheery look in them.
I'll give you £23 for him.
No, I can get more than that for him.
Then a hard-faced man came, and I was dreadfully afraid he would have me. But just then the gray-eyed man came back. I could not help reaching out my head towards him.
Well, old chap, I think we suit each other. I'll give you £24.10 for him and not another sixpence. Yes or no?
So.
We then set out for London, arriving after dark at a rather poor-looking house.
Father!
Harry, my boy, open the gates, and Mother will bring us the lantern.
Is he gentle, Father?
Yes, Dolly, as gentle as your own kitten. Come and pat him.
Let me get him a bran mash while you rub him down.
Do, Polly. It's just what he wants, and I know you've got a beautiful dinner ready for me, too.
My new master's name was Jerry Barker, and he was a cab driver. My first week of life as a cab horse was very trying, as I had never been used to London. All of the noise and carriages that I had to make my way through made me feel anxious and harassed. But Jerry was a good driver, and he took as much thought for his horses as he did for himself. One day, two wild-looking young men came up to us.
Here, cabbie. Look sharp. We are rather late. Put on the steam, will you, and take us to the Victoria in time for the 1 o'clock train. You shall have a shilling extra.
I will take you at the regular pace, gentlemen. Shillings don't pay for putting on steam like that.
I'm your man, gentlemen. Take my cab. My horse will get you there all right. It's against Jerry's conscience to go beyond a jug trot. Giddy up!
Then slashing his jaded horse, he set off as hard as he could. Jerry patted me on the neck.
No, a shilling wouldn't pay for that sort of thing, would it, old fellow?
Another time, we were at the cab stand on a busy election day when we saw a young woman carrying a heavy child. She was looking this way and that and seemed quite bewildered.
Can you tell me the way to St. Thomas's Hospital, please, sir, and how far it is?
Why, missus, you can't get there walking through crowds like this. It's 3 miles away, and that child is heavy.
Yes, bless me, yes, but I'm strong, and if I knew the way, I think I should get there somehow. Please tell me the way.
You can't do it. You might be knocked down and the child run over. Now, look here, just get into this cab and I'll drive you safe to the hospital.
Evan, bless you.
Cab! Cab!
Engaged. This cab is already engaged, gentlemen, by that lady.
Lady? Oh, she can wait. Our business is very important.
Besides, we were in first, and we shall stay in. All right, gentlemen. Pray stay in as long as it suits you. I can wait while you rest yourselves. They'll soon be gone. Don't trouble yourself, my dear.
Well, did you ever hear of such a thing?
Oh, thank you 1,000 times. I could never have got here alone.
You're kindly welcome, and I hope the dear child will soon be better.
Then Christmas week came, and as usual, we had a great deal of late work. Sometimes we had to wait hours in the rain or frost, and Jerry developed a bad cough. On the evening of the New Year, we had to take two gentlemen to a house in the West End.
Come for us at 11. You may have to wait a few minutes, but don't be late.
We were at the door as the clock struck 11, then 12. It began to sleet, and it was very cold. Jerry was coughing, and his voice was very hoarse. He got off his box and pulled one of my cloths a little over my neck. Then he opened the cab door and sat at the bottom with his feet on the pavement and was a little sheltered. At 1 o'clock, the gentlemen came out and got into the cab with never a word that they were sorry to have kept us waiting so long. At last, we got home.
Jerry, can I do something?
Get the horse something warm and then boil me some gruel.
Jerry's wife made me comfortable, and then went into the house. Several days went by, and I saw only the children. On the third day, while Harry was grooming me in the stable...
I wouldn't go to the house, my boy, but I want to know how your father is.
He's very bad. He can't be much worse. They call it bronchitis. The doctor thinks it will turn one way or another tonight.
That's bad, very bad. So you must keep up your spirits. If there's any rule that good men should get over these things, I'm sure he will. He's the best man I know. I'll look in again tomorrow.
The next day, Jerry was better, and he began to improve steadily. The children had many consultations together about what father and mother would do.
The doctor says father must never go back to cab work again if he wishes to live to be an old man.
What will we do? I wish we could help.
Then one day, Dolly came into the stable very full of news.
Oh, Harry, The lady Mother used to work for has written to say that we are all to go and live near her. She wants Father to become her coachman.
Oh, that's jolly, and just the right thing for Father, except that we'll have to sell the horses.
This was heavy news for me, for I was not young now. I was sold to a corn dealer whom Jerry knew, and with him he thought I should have good food and fair work. Unfortunately, he had a foreman who was always hurrying and driving everyone.
Take these extra bags, Jakes. It's no use going twice when once will do.
Jakes, like the other carters, always had the bearing rein up, and I soon found the work telling on my strength. One day, when I was trying to drag a heavy load uphill, I was obliged continually to stop.
Get on, you lazy fella.
Oh, pray, do not whip your good horse anymore. I am sure he's doing all he can. The road is very steep, and it is a very heavy load.
It is too heavy, but that's not my fault.
I think I can help you if you will let me. You see, he cannot use all his power with his head held back by that bearing rein. If you would take it off, I am sure he would do better. I should be very glad if you would try.
Well, anything to please a lady. How far would you wish it down, ma'am?
Quite down. Give him his head altogether. Poor fellow. That's what you wanted.
Come on, Blackie, pull.
Come on, fellow. You see, he was quite willing when you gave him a chance. You won't put that rein on again, will you?
Well, ma'am, I can't deny that having his head has helped him up the hill, but if he went without a bearing rein, I should be the laughingstock of all the carters. It is the fashion, you see.
Is it not better to lead a good fashion than to follow a bad one? I'm sure you will find it far better than the whip. Good day.
That was a real lady, Blackie. She spoke just as polite as if I was a gentleman. And I'll try her plan. Well, uphill at any rate. Giddy-up.
However, the heavy loads went on. I was getting so pulled down from this that a younger horse was bought in my place, and I was sold to a large cab owner. There, my life was utterly wretched. One day, when we were at the railway station...
Cab, over here!
It was a party of four with a great deal of luggage. The lady and the boy got into the cab, and while the man ordered about the luggage, the young girl came and looked at me.
Papa, I'm sure this poor horse cannot take us all and our luggage so far. He is very weak and worn out.
Can your horse do it, or can't he, driver?
Oh, he can do it, sir. Send up the boxes. He could take more than that.
Papa, do take a second cab. I am sure we're wrong. I am sure it is very cruel.
Nonsense, Grace. Get in at once. Don't make all this fuss. The man knows his own business. There now, get in and hold your tongue.
At last, all was ready, and my driver, with his usual jerk at the rein and slash of the whip, drove out of the station. I got along well till we came to a steep hill. There, the heavy load and my own exhaustion were too much. I was struggling to keep on, when in a single moment, my feet slipped from under me, and I fell heavily to the ground on my side. I could not move.
Come on, get up! Get out of there! Get out of there, you beast!
Oh, that poor horse! It is our fault.
Someone loosened my throat strap, and some cordial was poured into my mouth. After a time, I felt my life coming back. Finally, I staggered to my feet and was led to a stable where a farrier came to look at me.
This is a case of overwork. If you give him a runoff for 6 months, he may be able to work again.
I have no meadows to nurse sick horses. He must just go to the dogs.
Well, there's a sale of horses coming off in about 10 days. If you rest him and feed him, he might pick up. You may get more than his skin is worth at any rate.
So, for a few days, I was well fed and cared for. And then I was taken to the sale, where I found myself in company with the old, broken-down horses, some lame, some broken-winded, some old, and some that I am sure it would have been merciful to shoot. Before long, I noticed a man who looked like a gentleman farmer, with a young boy by his side.
There's a horse, Willie, that's known better days.
Poor old fellow. Do you think, Grandfather, he was ever a carriage horse?
Oh, yes, my boy. He might have been anything when he was young. There's a deal of breeding about that horse.
Could you not buy him, Grandfather, and make him young again?
My dear boy, I can't make all old horses young. Besides, Lady Bird wasn't so very old. She was just run down and badly used.
Look at his mane and his tail.
Bless the boy. He's as horsey as his old grandfather.
The young gentleman's a real knowing one, sir. It would be worth a gentleman's while to give a £5 note for him and let him have a chance, Mr. Thorogood.
Very well. Take him to the inn, if you please.
I had a good feed at the inn and was gently ridden home.
We'll give him hay and oats every night and morning, and the run of the meadow during the day.
Willie came to see me every day. Sometimes he brought his grandfather.
He's improving steadily, Willie, with the rest and the good food and gentle exercise.
During the winter, my legs improved so much that I began to feel quite young again.
We must give him a little gentle work now. He has a beautiful mouth and good paces. We must now be looking for a quiet, genteel place for him, where he'll be valued.
One day during the summer, the groom cleaned me with extraordinary care and hitched me to the chaise.
If the ladies take to him, Willie, they'll be suited and he'll be suited. We can but try. Giddy-up!
A mile or two from the village, we came to a pretty house, and Mr. Thorogood went in. In about 10 minutes, he returned, followed by 3 ladies.
Now, if you wish, you can have him on trial. And then your coachman will see what he thinks of him.
You have always been such a good advisor to us about our horses that your recommendation would go a long way with me. And if my sister Lavinia sees no objection, we will accept your offer of a trial with thanks.
We returned home, and the next morning a smart-looking young man came for me. At first he looked pleased, but then he saw my knees.
I didn't think, sir, you would have recommended my ladies a blemished horse like this.
Handsome is as handsome does. You're only taking him on trial, and I'm sure you'll do fairly by him, young man. And if he's not as safe as any horse you ever drove, you send him back.
I was led to my new home and placed in a comfortable stall. The next day, when my groom was cleaning my face...
That is just like the star the Black Beauty had. He's much the same height, too. I wonder where he is now.
He began to look me over carefully.
White star in the forehead, one white foot on the offside, and as I am alive, there is a little patch of white hair that John used to call Beauty's threepenny bit. It must be Black Beauty. Why, Beauty! Beauty, do you know me? Little Joe Green that almost killed you? Give you a fair trial? I should think so, indeed. I wonder who the rascal was that broke your knees, my old Beauty. You must have been badly served out somewhere. Well, well, it won't be my fault if you haven't good times of it now.
Joe told the ladies that I was Squire Gordon's old Black Beauty. They were pleased with me and decided to keep me. Mr. Thorogood said to Joe the other day,
in your place, he'll last until he's 20 years old, perhaps more.
I have now lived in this happy place a whole year. My work is easy and pleasant, and my ladies have promised that I shall never be sold, so I have nothing to fear. And here my story ends. My troubles are all over, and I am at home.